Our scripture lesson this morning begins with Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 7, and continues with 1 Peter 5, verses 6 and 7. From the book of Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let all men know your forbearance. The Lord is at hand. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And from 1 Peter, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Glasses. Let's pray. Mighty God, we pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight. Lord, our strength, our rock, and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us all say. So there's a wife who calls her husband on the phone and says, there's a problem with my car. There's water in the carburetor. And the husband says, water in the carburetor? That's ridiculous. Who told you you've got water in the carburetor? And she says, I figured it out all by myself. He said, what are you talking about? You don't even know what a carburetor looks like. This is our third week of looking at the theme, stress out. And our ideal here is not that we want to get stressed out, but we want to get stress out. We want to get it out of our lives. And today I want to begin by acknowledging something. Sometimes the biggest battles that we face are battles that are invisible to others. Sometimes the biggest battles we face are battles that others can't see that are going on. When they see us, they see a smile on our face. They see us looking happy or good. It seems like everything is going great, but deep within there is a battle going on. One of my best friends is Tommy, and Tommy and I went to college together, and Tommy was at work, and Tommy went to the doctor to get a check out, and the doctor said, we found two spots on your lung and chest cavities, and we found a larger spot on your pancreas. The doctor says, you're going to have to come back again so that we can run more tests. So Tommy leaves, and he goes back to work. Now, he looks the same to the people at work, right? They look at him, and he looks exactly the same as when he left, and yet there is a battle going on within his body and within his mind, and the battle in his mind is a battle of fear, anxiety, and doubt. I want us to look again at what we're supposed to do when we feel stressed out. I want to look at our scripture lesson from Philippians, but before we read the words, I want to remind you about what the author is facing. Paul is the one who's writing this. And does anyone know where Paul is writing this from? Prison, right? He's not just writing it from prison while he's in the prison library, right? No, he's not in the prison library. He's chained to a Roman guard who's chained to him for 24 hours a day. And Paul doesn't know what's going to happen. He doesn't know, is he going to be whipped? Is he going to be killed? Is he going to stay in prison? Is he going to be released? He's got all of this unknown going on. He's kind of like my friend Tommy, waiting for the results of the test. And it's under this pressure that the Holy Spirit, I believe, gives Paul these words to write. Here's what it says. Rejoice in the Lord always. And then he repeats that it's so important. Again, I will say rejoice. He says, let all men know your forbearance. Forbearance is kind of like a legal word. It means to withhold something that is legally yours. So if I'm showing forbearance, I'm showing patience. I'm showing a willingness to relinquish what is mine. So therefore, I deserve to be anxious. I deserve to be upset. I deserve to be judgmental, but I'm going to give that up because something better is right around the corner. And what's better that's right around the corner? The Lord is at hand. Remember 2 weeks ago, we talked about why does God speak in the still small voice? Because God is near. God is at hand. He's right there with us. Have no anxiety about anything, but in everything, and I added that, every situation, here's how you address it, by prayer and supplication. Hold on, let's just stay right there for a second. By prayer and supplication. So a lot of times we might be thinking, well, aren't prayer and supplication the exact same thing? What's the difference? Well, prayer is when we communicate to God. Supplication is the posture in which we pray to God. Supplication might be this, when we go to the altar and we kneel at the altar and we're in a posture of prayer. Supplication might be when I raise my hands unto the Lord, or when I bow my head, or when I fold my hands, or when I close my eyes. It's that posture of prayer. And a lot of times we think nowadays, well, you know, that's kind of old-fashioned. That's what grandma and grandpa used to do. Bless their hearts back then. We don't need to do that to communicate with God, right? Now, can I tell you something? I agree. We don't have to do that to communicate with God, but supplication is communication with God as well. Here's why I say that. If you look at communication experts, they tell you that 93% of the way we communicate is non-verbal. But it has to do with our gestures, our facial expressions. It has to do with our body language. That's how we communicate. And so what I want to say is this, is that when we practice supplication, we are communicating with God. And the message we're communicating is, I'm humble, and God, you are sovereign. Sovereign means that you're in control. I'm looking to you, God, to be the leader of my life. I'm not trying to rule you and tell you what you should do. So in every situation, we handle it by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, letting your request be made known to God. So let's just pause just for a moment and let's just actually do that. Let's pray to God. Mighty God, we thank you. We thank you that in the midst of our weakness, you are our strength. We thank you that we have the privilege to come before you, and we come before you humbly, dear Lord. We come before you recognizing that you are sovereign and that you are God. Be with us. Use us, dear Lord, for the upbuilding of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray, and let us say, amen. So here's a question for you. What is stress? What is anxiety? It's complicated. It can be physical. It can be psychological. It can be emotional, situational. It can be spiritual. So I think that the best thing to do is to take a holistic approach when we talk about stress. And when I say holistic, I mean including the whole person. We need to look at body, mind, and soul. But also when I say holistic, I mean holistic in the resources that we use to address stress. So it might mean this. It might mean that I go to the doctor and I get medication to help me deal with my stress, right? My friend Tommy, when the doctor said, you're going to need more tests, Tommy didn't say, well, nope. All I'm going to do is pray, and I'm never coming in a doctor's office ever again, right? Some people might think that, but that's not what Tommy did. Tommy had a holistic approach. So he's going to look at medicine. He's going to look at the knowledge that God gave to the doctors. You know, it also might mean that you need to go on a diet. It might also mean that you go to Dr. Myers and get acupuncture, or go see Tanisha Neely and do some yoga. It might mean that there's a whole bunch of different ways or prescriptions or medicines that we might take to have a holistic approach. But I'm going to be honest and tell you, I cannot tell you about what diet to take. I'm sorry, I got no authority with that at all. You do not want me sticking you with needles. I would look foolish if I tried to do yoga, and you definitely don't want me prescribing any medicine. So the prescription that I'm going to share with you today is a prescription that Paul shares with us about prayer, about the importance of going to the Lord when in the midst of our stress and praying. But I want to absolutely make absolutely clear is that my idea of how we handle stress is holistic. We want to look at all the different opportunities, but first go to the Lord in prayer. I got a picture on the screen. Does anybody know what that picture is a picture of? No, it's not a submarine. It's a check engine light, right? How many of you get anxious when that check engine light comes on? You're like, oh no, oh no. But how many of you know this? The check engine light is not the problem, right? You do realize that. That little light coming on, that's not the problem. That is an indication that there is a problem, right? There's a problem somewhere else, and it's an indication that if you're wise, you should probably take it to the manufacturer. You should probably take it to the one who made it so that they can fix it, because there's something wrong that's more than just that little light that's there. Well, can I say something to you? What is anxiety? Among other things, anxiety is a signal alerting you that it's time to pray. Among other things, it's a signal alerting you that it's time to pray. It's the signal saying that if you're wise, you should go back to your manufacturer, your creator, the one who knows you, who loves you, who made you, and who can fix you. In other words, I'm trying to say if it's big enough to worry about, it's big enough to pray about, right? If you're worried about that doctor's visit, pray about it. If you're worried about that assignment you've got for school or for work, pray about it. Steve Harvey has a famous quote, and here's his quote. If you pray about it, don't worry about it. And if you're going to worry about it, don't pray about it. Well, guess what? I think that Steve Harvey must have came up with that quote right after he read the scripture lesson from Philippians. Be anxious about nothing. But in every situation, take your request to God through prayer and supplication. Be anxious about nothing, but in every situation, take your request to God through prayer and supplication. So we already talked about supplication. It's a posture of humility and of trust in a sovereign God. Let's talk a little bit about prayer. Someone might ask, how do you pray? Some people start off their prayers by praying like this. O omnipotent, eternal creator. Some like Pastor Jennifer might start off their prayer by saying, good morning, Daddy. Some people might pray in the King James Version. Hearken unto my voice, O God, and knowest thou my deepest woes. And some people might pray TV slogans. Like, God, you are like Gillette. You are the best a man can get, right? God, you're like Visa. You're everywhere I want to be. God, you're like Bounty. You're the quicker picker-upper, right? We might pray in all different kinds of ways. What's the best way to pray? Let's go back to our scripture. It says this, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, read this last part with me. Let your requests be made known to God. Let your requests be made known to God. That's the bottom line. You talk to God in your way. You let God know your needs. I have three different kids, and all three of them are different, and they have different ways that they let their needs be known to me. My oldest is my daughter, Rebecca. And Rebecca chooses the way that she's going to let me know what's going on in her life. She FaceTimes me on the telephone, right? And FaceTime is more than just a telephone call. It's a video. So I can actually see her right there. But she calls me and FaceTimes me. And does she look at me in the phone while she's talking to me? No. She might not even talk to me. She just wants to be around me, right? So I'm just like, so what do you want? She's like, nothing. I'm like, okay, so what's going on? Oh, nothing. I'm like, what you doing? She's like, I just wanted to hang around as if I was in the same room with you, right? Isn't that neat? Well, then I got a middle son. My middle son's name is JoJo. And when he talks to me about what he needs, he's got it all planned and laid out. He knows what he needs. He knows how we should get it. He knows how much it's going to cost. He's got the rationale together. He's got charts and graphs. And by the time he's done, I'm like, here, just take it, boy. Just here, whatever, you know. Golly, geez. Then there's my son, Zachary. He's the youngest, right? He's still the baby. And so when he wants something, he puts on this cute smile. He waits until nighttime when Sharon and I are in the bed, and then he crawls into bed in between us and snuggles up. Oh, can I have this? Right? All three of them are different, right? They three completely different ways, but let me ask you, which is the right way? All of them. Because they're all my children. And the same thing is true when we're talking to our Heavenly Father. We're all different, and sometimes our prayers might be things that we write out. Our prayers might be prayers that we say as we leap for joy, or maybe as we cry out tears, or maybe as we yell out and ask God, why? Trust me, God is big enough to be able to handle even our questions. I'll let you in on a secret, but don't tell my kids this. I like it when they come to me with their needs. I do. If I'm an earthly father and I like it when my kids come to me, how much more does God love it when we come to him and make our requests known to him? How do we pray? Well, one thing is certain. We want to pray our prayers with supplication, with a posture of prayer. But then the scripture also tells us to add with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Be thankful for what you already have. Be thankful for what God has already done. Be thankful as you think back of all the times that God has been there with you before. I love when little David is going to go and face Goliath, and King Saul is saying, oh, you can't do it because it's too much. And Saul says, he was there when I faced the lion. He was there when I was protecting the sheep. He was there over and over again, and he will be with me again today. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were about to be thrown into the fiery furnace, they remembered God's presence. Even if he does not save us today, we will not bow down to you. When we're in the midst of our stress and our struggles, let your needs be known unto God, but also think back about how God has been with us and how God has delivered us over and over and over again. I read a quote just yesterday. It says this: gratitude and anxiety cannot occupy the same space at the same time. Gratitude and anxiety cannot occupy the same space at the same time. What is anxiety? It's a signal alerting us that we need to go to the one who loves us, go to the one who created us. And here's what it says in 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, unto God's mighty hand, that he might lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. I love that, and I love the imagery of God's mighty hand. But what makes this even cooler is when you remember who it was that wrote this. Who's the author here? Peter. Peter was one of the 12 what? There's this one time when the disciples are in the boat, right? And they're out in the boat, and they look out and they see someone, and the person that they see is walking on water, and they see it's Jesus, and they can't believe it's Jesus walking on water, but one of them is bold enough to say, Lord, if you will, bid me come out, then I might walk on the water with you. Who said that? Peter. And so Peter leaves the safety of the boat and the safety of the other disciples, and he steps out on the water. And he's literally walking by faith and not by sight, right? He's walking on the water, and he's focused on Jesus. But then all of a sudden, the waves begin to rise. And I can just imagine one slaps him on the back. And the wind comes up and knocks him just a little bit. And all of a sudden, he's like, wait a minute, what am I doing? I can't do this. Wait a minute. And he focuses, instead of on Jesus, he focuses on the waves and the wind and the rain. And what happens? He begins to what? He begins to sink, and he's going down, and he's going down. And as he's going down, Jesus comes over to him and reaches out his hand. And as Jesus reaches his hand out to him, Peter is doing what? Reaching out to God. And I love this. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may what? lift you up in due time. Maybe it's just me, but I think Peter is remembering that experience of Jesus lifting him up out of the chaos and the darkness and the depths of the water and the grave. He's literally raising him up because he cares for him. My friend Tommy's wife, she put a post up on Wednesday, and this is the post. One of the people wrote on the post who didn't know what they were going through, "Is this a movie picture for Aquaman 2? Nope. Anybody know what that's a picture of? It's Jesus. But from whose perspective? Peter's. Peter's perspective, and he's reaching out. And as he's reaching out, Peter's reaching up to him. One person commented on the picture, but it was after she wrote the title of what it is, and here's what her quote is when she wrote it. "When you're drowning in life's situation, just remember one thing. Your lifeguard walks on water." I love that. Oh, I love that. I love that. One person wrote back to her, long tirade about how God wasn't there for me and God didn't do this when I asked God to do that and I prayed and all of this stuff and he's so mad and God's a liar. All of this. And you know what I thought to myself? I wouldn't tell him this, but I thought this. You prayed, but you certainly didn't pray with supplication. You prayed, but you didn't pray with a posture of humility. You prayed and asked God, "Give me this," but you didn't get down on your knees or lie down on your stomach and ask God. You reign, you are sovereign, and your will be done. Because when we pray with a posture of supplication, we are not in charge. God is in charge. And we trust and believe that when we're hungry, it's okay. That when we're sick, it's okay. When we're rich, it's okay. When we're poor, it's okay, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We trust that God is reaching out to us and we reach up to him. There's two things, I believe, that happen when we reach up in worship. You know, when we worship God and we sing, when we praise, we lift our hands in worship, there's two things it symbolizes. One is it symbolizes victory, right? Yes. It's kind of like a touchdown. Touchdown, yes, yes. But the other thing that it symbolizes is surrender. I surrender, I give up. And I think that when we raise our hands, both of the things happen at the same time. We're saying that as I surrender to you, God, I gain the victory because ultimately you're still on the throne. And so no matter what happens, you're able to work it all for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to your purpose. We're able to say that no matter what, Lord, you can use me and that I surrender all. What is anxiety? Anxiety is a cycle. Let me just quickly show you what I think is a part of that cycle. It starts with that anxiety and stress, and then we try to control it. We try to grasp control and get a hold of things. But the more we try to grasp a hold and control things, then the more we begin to fear losing control. And the more we fear losing control, the more anxiety and stress we feel. And it's a wheel, and it just keeps going over and over. We keep repeating these cycles. And how do you break the cycle? I believe you break the cycle with prayer. That prayer is letting your request be made known to God. It's a posture of supplication, and it's also with thanksgiving. When we are not strong enough, when we are in the midst of our weakest moments, we reach out to the one who made us and knows us best. There was a woman who called her husband on the phone and says that there's something wrong with the car. the carburetor has water in it. And the husband said, what do you mean water in the carburetor? That's ridiculous. Who told you you've got water in the carburetor? She said, I figured it out all by myself. He said, honey, you don't even know what the carburetor looks like. He said, I'll look at it myself when I get home. Where's the car parked? She said, in the swimming pool. Church, when you're drowning in life's situation, remember one thing. Your lifeguard walks on water. Amen? Amen.